Tabor, Bogense, Dubendorf, Oostende, Hogerheide en Tabor again. Reefed in the rainbow jersey, stored in the gallery of great of the sports, Mathieu van der Poel took a sixth world title in Tabor today. Only Erik de Vlaeminck and Marianne Vos have more world titles than he has. What a dominant performance by him, Issam. Thank you once again for tuning in to discuss the biggest race of the season.
Yes, thank you for having me. And indeed, what an illustrious list of victories and also the amount of it, obviously. And yeah, special day for him, I would say, but also an expected result in the end of how the race went.
Even the most special things get normal. The ride we saw by Mathieu van der Poel today is not normal. Within a few minutes, like literally the first corner where we were standing, he takes the whole shot and he blasts away within the first minute and a half of the race. Like, Nieuwhuis did what he could to try and stay close, but it was game over already. Van der Poel attacked in the first lap and stormed towards victory. Nieuwhuis had like the benefit of staying within 15 seconds for the first few laps, and that gave him pretty much a free ride towards second place. He was there almost the entire race. For third place, there was a more interesting battle during the race, as a couple of big names had a bad start. Michael van Tourenhout was in 22nd after the start, Thibaut Nijs was in 18th, Elie Isebiet also didn't have a good start, and the same went for Pim Ronhaar. Once the order had restored and riders like Van der Putte, Van Turini, Van der Bos had dropped further back in the running order, Van Tourenhout moved towards the front together with Pim Ronhaar. They never came close to Nieuwhuis, and just before the halfway point, or maybe just after the halfway point of the race, Van Tourenhout dropped Ronhaar and raced to third place, saving the pride of the Belgians, if I need to believe their headlines. They got a medal here, and that was the only Belgian in the top four of the race. But Issam, first about Mathieu van der Poel before we talk about the remaining positions. What a ride. So dominant. And as I said, like, even the most special things become normal. We're not surprised by this, but it's such a demonstration, and this was just a replicate of Dubendorf. In Dubendorf, he also did it like this. He won in style, no risks. This is the only race that mattered for him this season. He took the win. Six world titles. Only Erik de Vlaeminck has more world titles. I mean, it's one of the greatest cyclocross riders ever. I mean, you might even say the greatest.
Yeah, I will go with that title, to be honest. I feel that today definitely showed that he's a class above anyone that has been involved in the sport of cyclocross, in my opinion. I think that he raised the bar so high that you can only conclude that that is the case at the moment. You know, the one that needs to achieve the things that he has done and actually do it even better, you know, has to do quite some work. And he is, in a way, you could argue he's like halfway through his career, maybe getting more and more towards somewhat the end of his career, but there is still so much left in him, in a way. You never know how a career goes, but there's still some years in him, I would say. And I think that, yeah, the way he was racing today also was so confident, no issues whatsoever from basically the start. And the way he was racing also was pure class. And we have seen it this season so far, these demonstrations, in a way. So it's not a surprise. But then again, it's, you know, great to see him achieve the thing that he definitely deserved if you look at how his season went. But we all kind of had this idea of the race has to be ridden, and we have to see if it actually is going to happen on the day itself. And it did for him, and I think that there's not really going to be anyone disputing the fact that he doesn't deserve this. You know, there are obviously some talks about, you know, Wout van Aert is not here or Pidcock is not here, so, you know, what is the World Championship worth it? But, you know, they made that decision, and he made the decision to start, and he made the decision to ride with the opponents that were there, and they were definitely not going to be very easy, and they didn't really want to hand him the title, but he really went for it and delivered. And I think that is definitely, if you look at the record as well that he achieved now, you know, really a amazing achievement, and I think something that will probably stay in the record books for a very long time.
How many world championships has he raced now? 2 as a junior, 9 as an elite, 1 as U23, 12, and he's only lost 4 of them. That's a insane winning streak at Cyclocross World Championships. He lost to Van Aert all four times. He lost to him three times as an elite, which BLS, I mean, he was the strongest there, but I mean, the tire choice is a crucial part of cyclocross. Let's not dive into the archives for that, but Van Aert beat him four times, three times as an elite, one time as a U23, and he's just so far above the rest. I don't know if I would say that he's the greatest of all time. I just struggle with like the comparisons between the different times. Like Van der Poel might be like the best ever, also because he's done so much like on the road and he's like the big name there as well, and that's something that none of the others can really put forward, like such a palmarès on the road, like road world champion, won Paris-Roubaix, won the Tour of Flanders, won Milan-San Remo. That's an impressive palmarès to put forward, so that definitely like favors him, but it shouldn't really be relevant for what he's achieved in cross. So I just struggle with comparing him to Liboton, Nijs, and the Flaming. So I'm also not gonna go there. I just, if you ask me who's the GOAT, I just seriously couldn't tell you. I would just come up with these four names because the comparison is so hard between the eras, the types of races, the importances that they had, the existence or non-existence of the classifications, the relevance of the classifications, because for Van der Poel, it's not relevant. He only cares about this race. So Nijs always cared about the World Cup, about the Super Prestige, but then Nijs also got shafted because in his prime, there was no World Cup classification. So it's tricky, but what was clear that today he was a clear cut above the rest. The second place went to his countryman Joris Nieuwenhuis. I think Nieuwenhuis, in these conditions, which we already went over yesterday, was not really what we were expecting earlier this week, found a very good course for him. These like heavy courses is what he's the best at. Just the tractoring, the running, just dreadful. Honestly, dreadful. If you were out there today and your shoes came home clean, I wonder if you actually were at this cyclocross race, because it was so muddy, pants are full of mud, shoes can go into the bin after this cross season. It was proper cyclocross conditions out there.
Yeah, it was. And I think for Nieuwenhuis, the key for his race was definitely at the start. But he also had very good legs and the conditions really suited him. And I think that we said it at the sort of the start of the season when he started to get into some sort of a rhythm that, you know, he was going to get dangerous in these type of courses at the end of December, and I think that already before that he kind of showed it in several races. And yeah, I felt very confident about him going into this race because he showed great form, and I also thought that he was going to be someone that could really put in a very smart race and use his head. And I think today also he used his head quite well. I think that he knew that it was going to be crucial to have a good start, but that is in most of the races the case, so that's not something really worthy, but you still have to do it. And I think he did that very well. He got that gap and then was able to, I would say, control himself, not go too crazy and try to follow Van der Poel too much and overstep it in a way. And I think that it was a very good ride from Nieuwenhuis. And in my opinion, I feel that not only with this race, but with the season overall that he's had, wasn't the most spectacular season, but was definitely a season with quite some significant ups. And I think that he kind of showed the competitors that he is definitely someone to watch out for in the next season. And, you know, I'm very happy that he made that decision to go full for cyclocross. And I think that is paying off. And I hope that it's going to pay off even more in the next couple of years. And it's just great to see that he found his mojo, he found a very good form, and I think it's very great to see that he's able to unlock that potential that was once there and didn't really leave.
Yeah, that switch back to cross came just at the right time, because his road career was basically going nowhere, so I'm happy that he like realized, hey, I should do something else, and I was really good at cyclocross. I think over the season, we can't really appoint a standout best rider from the pack of full-time cross riders that have been racing since October. Thibaut Nijs had his phase, but I would definitely not call him the best. But there were like Van Toerenhout had his peak now towards the end. Nieuwenhuis had been there since November. You had Ron Haar, who had a very strong phase around Dendermonde and Dublin. It's hard to really appoint somebody from that pool, and I don't think that we should. But definitely on a course like this, Nieuwenhuis this season has been the most consistent. And you mentioned him as a rider that like came back to cross. We saw a couple more today. Venturini was up there in the beginning of the race. This was no good course for him. We tipped him for a top 10, but in these conditions, it would be a lot more difficult than if it was fast. He faded throughout the second half of the race. He went way too hard in those opening laps fighting for the podium. Another rider we saw was Adam Tupalek, racing now for Tour de Titema team. This is also a rider that I think he can make like some mild progression in his cross or in his road campaign this year, moving to a Continental Pro team. But I don't see him as like an actual road rider. I think if you remember as when he was a U23, how good he was back then, like I think if he'd focused on cross, he would have had maybe more benefit from it. Of course, there's all the reasons and they make sense. Like, how do you find a team? What push and pull factors are there for you? You can make more money maybe on the road. You have teams that support you there. So it all makes sense, but it's still a bit of a shame that so many riders that have the capabilities go to the road and many times end up having a pretty average road career when they could have a way more than average cyclocross career. But for Niehaus, it's good that he could turn it around. He repacked himself super well in the final lap because at some point that gap to Van Turenhout was only like 10-ish seconds. Van Turenhout really stormed forward, but Niehaus in the final lap was pretty fast, and then Van Turenhout needed to settle for third, but that's still good because he fought off Ronhaar, and a few weeks ago we were trashing Van Turenhout. This season been horrible apart from that European title, but he managed to turn everything around.
Yeah, I would say that he saved his season quite well with those last couple of races. Of course, it's a bit hard to say that because he won the European Championships, but you know, his season overall has been quite miserable and it wasn't the best. And as you said, I think a couple of weeks ago, I would have said that you were crazy if you would tell me that Van Turenhout would finish on the podium. But with the, you know, the races that we have seen last week, it was definitely not something unlikely. And also with Benidorm at the back of the head, I mean, that race was also definitely a race that we could hardly place because we didn't really know what the other riders did, and he didn't really do any training camp or something else. But it seems like that was the perfect preparation for him. And it's great to see in a way because he had that very good season last year, and we knew that he had that potential to be sort of around the best of the rest. And I think that now with the last couple of races, he really showed that. And I'm happy for him. And I think that he definitely, you know, kind of deserves it in a way. And it's funny to see how he is able to, from time to time, perform quite well in the championships. And I don't know how that will, you know, go over in the next couple of seasons and how that will turn out. But I think at the moment he can be somewhat happy with his season, how it ended, and he has one jersey, podium at the Worlds. I think that is definitely an achievement, and you know, try to work maybe a little bit more on the consistency next season. But overall, definitely, yeah, I think he saved his season definitely with this race, and also with how he kind of ended the season. But you know, still some races for him most likely, but you know, after the Worlds, it's kind of, you know, the season is over and we just try to round it up in a way.
Well, the season only continues for the Belgians, but there's not that much on the line. The classifications, as many years have already been the case in recent history, have already been decided. So it's interesting to see the shift of dynamics of Michael van Turenhout, because a few years ago, this was a rider who we did not associate with a championship rider at all. We called him Mr. Consistent. We were waiting when we started this podcast in the COVID season 2020-2021. We were talking, when is Michael van Turenhout going to get his big win? I remember when we went to Tabor in that year, I was saying, oh, this time van Turenhout is going to take advantage from the team games and he's going to finally land his big win. It didn't happen there. It happened a bit later. And then all of a sudden he transformed into a guy who never really won, into a guy who started winning, and then quickly into a guy who won a couple of races, but really only won or did well at the championships, like Class 1 Turenhout 2.0. So it's an interesting shift, and I think if you look at the riders who he beats, we go through the entire top 10, Van der Poel, Niehaus, and Van Turenhout at the podium. Just behind them is Ronhaar, ahead of Iserbeet Adams. then Boros ahead of Meuse, Nijs and Orts in 10th. So the riders directly behind him are Ronhaar, Isebiet and Adams. Ronhaar, this is a good course for him. He didn't really seem to have the best day of the season, but I also don't think that we should be overly harsh on him. On a course like this, it's no shame to be slightly worse than Nieuwenhuis and Van Turenhout. You would expect him on a course like this normally to beat Isebiet, which he did. Isebiet said he didn't have a great day. It wasn't horrible either. He said he was flat. He focused on that Belgian title. That was really the end of his season. He says he's not even sure he's going to race after the World Championships. And maybe he can join the foreigners, as they're called in the Belgian media. Just the people who don't have a Dutch and Belgian flag and chugging beers next to the course. Or just watching and spectating and eating the cyclocross food going into the beer tent. And finally getting some recovery, some rest. But yeah, I mean, I think in general for Ronhaar and Isebiet, it's just an okay ride. I'm sure Ronhaar would have loved to be on the podium. His time will come. He's a first-year elite. He made that switch earlier last year. So yeah, it's going well for him. And it's not a shame to end fourth behind Van der Poel, Nieuwenhuis and Van Turenhout, especially on a course as hard as this. This is, however, a course that suits Adams very well. He's good at putting down the power. It's a super honest course. Sixth is a very, very good race for him. It's a good result. This season he's had a couple of these highs, also a couple of lows, but it seems like he got everything together in sixth, but he needed to fight hard against home rider Michael Boros because he was on a day today. Wow.
Yeah, he definitely was, and I don't think we mentioned him in the preview, and of course we had a preview in mind with a sort of a fast race, fast service as well. But I think that today Boros probably was super motivated for sure. But that also showed in the way he was racing and also the result in the end. And I think that he can be very proud of what he achieved today. I think the Czech supporters that were there really appreciated his effort and his performance overall, and I think that, you know, you can only applaud that. I was very happy that the Czech could actually celebrate it in a way, because I think that this result definitely deserves to be celebrated. It was definitely something that I didn't, even with the course how it was, I didn't really expect it in a way. The surprise, in my opinion, in the top 10, for sure. It was a pleasure to see him up there. The Czech really made a lot of noise when any of the Czech riders passed, and it was a blast to see him go over the course and actually get his way into the top 10 and then move, you know, place by place into the position where he eventually finished. And I think that is a great achievement. And I hope, to be honest, next season we are going to see him a little bit more often in the top 10, because I think that is definitely a place where he could belong. So yeah, that is going to be interesting. But for now, he can be very proud of his achievement in Tabor.
I feel like for Boros, this is kind of his last dance at this level. Like a few years ago, he had this season where he was super well at Europeans in Namur. Where did he finish there? That was last year even. I'm not sure where he finished there, but it was like well inside the top 10. He did super well there. He was 7th there, or 8th maybe. It was somewhere like that. And he did well. He had a couple of seasons where he showed himself like being capable of peaking into the top 10 of the World Cup. But he's 32, so his time is also running out a bit. Luckily, there seems to be some more Czech talent coming up to take over the torch from him. But as you said, it was a great ride today. There were so many fans cheering him on. They were so loud, so loud, and especially those stands, it made the atmosphere almost intimidating, like an arena. You said it was like we were at a biathlon event. Like, it was crazy. It's like a completely different experience than what I've experienced before. Last year I was in Hoogeheide Worlds. That was crazy. There were so many people there as well, but different. Here there were way more people that came from elsewhere, with the cowbells and the horns and the chainsaws and all that type of stuff. Just gave it a completely different vibe. And it was very nice to see. They cheered on Boros, and Boros got it done in the final lap against Wietse Meuse. Meuse, who was, well, criticized a bit that they selected him rather than Lander Loogs, I mean, he delivered. He showed that Sven van Turenhout made the right decision. Turenhout also chose him for his age, but he got it done. And that was at the cost of Thibaut Nice. Nice was up there early in the race, then faded. I guess kind of telling for the second phase of the season for Nice when it's been up and down. But yeah, I mean, for the rest, Van der Haar was in the top 10. His chain snapped. He was doing very well. He would have normally ended 5th, which would have been a good result, especially on a tractor course like this. Zweig 14th is not a good result for him, as has been the case the entire season. And then finally, Sam, Felipe Orts, 10th place, first World Championships top 10. His previous best was 12th in Bo Gensa. Good ride for him.
Yeah, definitely a very good ride for him. You know, you said it yourself that Van der Haar normally should have been in the top 10, but that's how the racing goes, and then you have to make the most out of it. And I think that he definitely delivered. It's great to see him in the top 10, and I think that he definitely deserves it. This season and also last season definitely has been an up for Orts in his career also. And yeah, I mean, it's good to see. I think that he definitely has a couple of years still in him. But I think what is more important is that he is definitely a role model for cyclocross riders in Spain. And I think that is, as we have already said it, I think we covered that already in the Benidorm episode, that it's important for the country that they have someone like Orts. And a top 10 is always something that sells a little better than being 11th or 12th. So I think for him, definitely a very good achievement. And it was great to see. I mean, on the broadcast, we haven't seen much of his racing. And we saw him pass by a couple of times and it looked quite good. So I'm happy for him that he was able to get himself in the top 10. And it's definitely a result that he can be, quite happy with. And it's going to be interesting how, you know, his next couple of seasons will play out. He's now also, you could call it, I would say, a privateer. I heard something along the lines that he was also focused on the gravel. So, you know, will be interesting to see how that will influence his cyclocross season next year. And I wish him all the best, and I hope that that it all works out for him.
Just a bit of a shame that for now there's not really somebody following in the footsteps of Orts. There's not a next Spanish guy coming up. Orts, for me, always came a bit out of the blue, although it's not completely justified. To me, it felt like that second place in BLS as last year, U23, behind Nieuwenhuis, like, came completely out of the blue. He got a couple of top 10s before, and I know the year before he was also 6th, but to me, I just forgot about all of that stuff, and it seemed like he just appeared out of nowhere. So his progression has been remarkable and good to follow. I just hope that, like, maybe you shouldn't expect to, like, see the results now, but, like, down the line, like, when he's, like, on the verge of retiring, that the riders who he's inspired are moving into the junior ranks and then are going to be moving forward. So we're going to see, like, more Spanish riders flow in. Because, like, honestly, it's, like, pretty thin. It's Orts, and then you have Suarez Fernandez, who's, like, reasonable level, and Lucia Gonzalez Blanco, Sofia Rodriguez Rivera on the women's side are also decent. But there's not, like, this next talent coming on who we can, like, talk about, okay, like, this rider on the men's side or the women's side will be able to end in the top 15 in cyclocross races down the line. But maybe we need to be a bit more patient for that. Somebody who certainly was not patient today was Zoe Backstedt, because in the women's U23 race, she basically did the same as Van der Poel, but instead of attacking after 1 minute, she attacked after 4 minutes, quickly opened a large gap of 20 seconds on Mairi Schreiber. Schreiber faded throughout the race. She did not have a good day. She would fall to 5th place. The battle for second was between Leonie Bentveld and Kristina Zemanova. Zemanova was putting Bentveld under pressure for almost the entire race, and in the final lap, Bentveld eventually had to give in. Zemanova took second place in front of a truly ecstatic home crowd. They went completely bonkers on that start-finish straight for that second place, with Bentveld taking third. Islam, walkover victory, Zoe Backstedt. Course was good for her in these conditions. She is a machine. She was taking a snack when she was running. Like, oh, I'm just going to take a gel. I'm on a jog here. Whatever. I don't care. Red Bull gives me wings. Today is for me.
Are we sponsored by Red Bull? No, but yeah, it was for Backstedt. It was quite the ride, I have to say. I was really impressed the way she did it, you know, from basically lap one. I think after the stairs, she took the advantage there from Schreiber, and Schreiber had no reaction, and to be honest, didn't really have a reaction after that for the entirety of the race. Faded completely, which was a bit of a shame, I would say. Quickly, it was already the focus on second place, the battle between Zimanova and Bentfeld. And, you know, for Bakstedt, there was nothing in her way to avoid her from getting the victory. It was a great ride, very impressive, and it was there from the start, and she was able just to, I wouldn't say cruise to victory, because that's so cliche and also easy to say from the couch, but it was definitely a very good ride from Bakstedt, and I'm happy that Team GB got a gold medal. I think they definitely deserved it in a way after the mixed relay also. So yeah, it was a very good ride from her, and very impressed by it.
The national team coach there will be super happy with that result. It was, as you said, a dominant ride, and I mean, it may be easy to say from the sofa you're sitting in now that it was an easy win. From my wooden chair across the room, it's very hard to say it, but it's true. Even when I was standing in the field, we could see it as it was a bit on cruise control in the second half of that race. There's no shame in admitting that. She was just so much better. Her peak was so well timed. This is just her second year as a U23. It's easy to forget that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if next season she's going to move to the elite. I mean, I guess if she makes like another step, she's coming close to competing against Pieterse, Alvarado, Brandt on like these type of courses. It's a useless speculation, but if she would have raced the women elite race, I think she would have ended fifth or maybe even fourth, which is a crazy result considering her age. And there's still plenty of margin for improvement. So I'm interested. I just struggle to like, where do I see Zoë Bakstedt in this cyclocross? She's going to end up doing the same as what Van Empel is going to end up doing. It's going to be a limited cyclocross campaign, because Bakstedt is talented everywhere. I don't believe that she's fully buried those track ambitions. I think she's like, I want to become cyclocross world champion elite in my career, but I also want to win a gold medal at the Olympics in LA in the team pursuit, or probably the team pursuit, because she's not really good on those other track numbers. But the team pursuit, UK, I can see her also want to hunt for that as some. It's, her possibilities are almost limitless. And she seems to be in a very good place now on the Canyon SRAM team. So I just wonder like what way she's going to go. What are we going to see from her in cross? How much will it have her priority? I don't know. I for sure hope that this road season she can get things going and also get some good results there. It wouldn't surprise me at all if she starts doing well there. She has the potential. Things just didn't really work out last year, but ever since that move to Canyon SRAM, even on the road, her performances increased significantly in a short amount of time. So it's been very, very good. And I mean, I think we can also say the same for the ride of Zimanova today. There was not more in it for her. This is the second year in a row she ends on the podium of the Cyclocross World Championships U23. Last year, third. This year, second. So if Bakstedt moves to the elite, next year, first, Issa?
Maybe, but she's definitely going to have some opposition for sure. And yeah, I think if you look at her ride today, it was a very strong ride. Definitely had also the support from the Czech fans that also went very crazy when Zimanova was passing. And I think that you can, you know, there's also some pressure on her in a way. I think that third wasn't also a bad result, but second makes it just a little bit better. And yeah, I think overall it was also from her side a very good race. I think that for Bentfeld it was just a little too much. But they both had, I wouldn't say the luck, but the situation was there that Schreiber didn't really have a great day. And that was normally someone that probably could have been the second woman of the race, which then gave them the opportunity to fight for the last two spots on the podium. And I think both, if you look at their season as well and how they are progressing throughout their career overall, I think that they both definitely deserve this podium, both Zimanova and also Bentfeld. And you know, I think that it is, in a way, it kind of shows where they are at the moment. It really reflects the power, but you can already see with a very strong Isabella Holmgren in fourth that there is some talent coming up, and it will be interesting to see the progress that someone like her will make throughout next season. And I think then for sure it's not going to be a very easy road to victory for Zamanova if she's going to stay in the under 23 category, which wouldn't surprise me in a way.
I think Zamanova will definitely do one more year, and the same for Bentfeld, and I don't blame them because they haven't won a world title. I mean, even Baxet might decide to do another year if she's next year not capable of competing for a podium in the women's elite race. It just depends how she feels about it. But anyway, what always frustrates me is to see a rider like Zamanova do so well and then realize that the way forward in the sport is so difficult for her, because realistically, where is she going to go with some? She's the second best U23 rider in the world at the moment. She's shown this season that she's capable of scoring World Cup top 10s, even close to a podium. She was fourth in Val di Sol. Earlier this season, she had a very impressive ride in Maasmechelen after being held up by an early crash. She was up there in Dublin. In Zolder, Super Prestige, she was fighting for the podium. She ended fifth. In Zonhoven, she was also fifth in a World Cup. Like, that World Cup podium is going to come at some point. But meanwhile, she's still kind of stuck in racing for the Billron MTB team. And that team takes care of her pretty well. But, like, there's no clear next step forward. And if you look at the rest of the riders in the top 10, the top 10 was Baxet, Zamanova, Bentveld, Holmgren, Schreiber, Van Sinai, Molegraaf, Durafou, Brouwers, and Moors. If we look at those riders, Julie Brouwers is a final year U23. She's not a great rider in my opinion. 22 years old, but she has a contract with Charles Lecoeur Roastery, which is the former Wanty Cyclocross. It is the Wanty Cyclocross team. It's the former Tormans team. Like, she's picked up there and being taken care of, and they're nurturing her into a rider that is way better than she was before. But Zamanova has way more raw talent, but there's no, like, real path forward for her to, like, be given the same amount of care. And of course, I get why they want the Belgian rider on their team, because they don't want to face pressure from the Belgian media, like, you're not helping Belgian women become better, and it's just easier because you don't need to, like, take care of their housing and everything. There's no language barrier, and for Belgian sponsors, it's more interesting to have Belgians. I get all of that, but it's still frustrating to see that for Zamanova, there's no real way forward, whereas Bentveld also in the media is portrayed as, like, an insane talent, and Zamanova last year, they didn't even know who she was on the Belgian broadcast. They were like, Zamanova, super surprising, third place, when you could have seen coming that Zamanova would do well in Hoogheide on a fast course. This year she became more versatile, delivers here as well, and still there's, like, no real interest in here and in her, and that's kind of just frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, in a way it's definitely, I don't know if you can call it frustrating, but it's maybe a little bit weird to see a rider like that, the caliber that she has, to be still in the team that she is at the moment. But I think for the moment it's not a bad place to be at. She's in good hands, I would say. She can do a reasonably well program, and she still has some time to progress. But I definitely feel that within two seasons you definitely have to make the next step, in a way, to find a team that will just support you just that tiny bit better, and also provide you with better coaches and that edge over your competitors, in a way, that the competitors now maybe have over you. So that is it. But they've definitely the thing that could help her out in her career later on. And I think for the moment there's not really a reason to panic, and I feel that for now she's in a good place, and the team where she's at definitely helps her. But yeah, I think for in the future it's definitely something there she has to work on. And it is a bit of a shame to see, because you can see it over also in the juniors as well, that you have some riders that are still in doubt of what their place will be, or with the team where they will be at in the next couple of years. There's no clear trajectory for them, which you can see at the junior men. Most of the time is more visible already, even though they have a different nationality. So that is, you know, that is something that is still, you know, we have to work on that. And with we, I mean the world of cyclocross in a way, the ones that could actually make a change. And yeah, we have to see how that will work out. But for now, I think she doesn't really have to panic or anything. I think where she's at is at the moment good enough, and she can definitely still work a season or two, and then from there on she, you know, has to find the step up with a better team that could help her out.
Then just to wrap up, some comments on the junior woman, or the woman U23, sorry. Bentveld third place is pretty good. She took maximum advantage of a bad day from Irish Schreiber. She didn't have it. Maybe it's correlated with wearing the gold goggles. That never is really a good sign. But yeah, she faded during the race. At some point, Schreiber was at risk of being overtaken by Molegraaf. Molegraaf ended 7th. She finally told us what was up with her this season. She said her inconsistencies are explained by severe back pain, that she's being treated for it, and that she hopes it improves. She was happy with a 7th place. Schreiber didn't get overtaken by Bentveld because she ended 5th, but in the final lap, she did get overtaken by Isabella Holmgren. Holmgren did her best Clara Honsinger impression because she was second to last or something after the start, then just went on a move and overtook a bunch of riders and raced all the way to 4th place with some really, really rapid final 2 laps. 6th place, Saïdé van Sinaï, is worth mentioning that the Belgians had a pretty good day collectively with the 6th, 9th and 10th. First year, van Sinaï didn't really have a great season but got things together here, which was a good result. Other first year, Fleur Morse, was in 10th. Just then a couple of mentions from outside of the top 10. Olivia Honesty was 11th. She is a third year U23. It's good to see her do relatively well. She did not have the luxury of going to a team. She went into school. She's now even working as a teacher, besides the fact that she is on the Van Rijssel CX team. And I think she was also on the Cofidis road team, but I'm not entirely sure she is still there. She finished ahead of Simona Spezna, which is a Czech rider. Surprised to see her ride super high up in the top 10. She was in 5th at some point, then fell back, definitely carried by the home crowd. And then some Italians we tipped, Corvi and Venturelli. It seems that if you only do 3 or 5 cyclocross races a season, it is not that easy to do well here. And on the other end of the spectrum, there were a couple of riders from America who'd clearly had a super long season and couldn't really perform today because of the tiredness. It's a hard balance to find in the world of cyclocross. Then the final race, which was the first race of the day, the men junior, that was probably the most entertaining one. Aubin Sparfel had the fastest start and quickly opened the gap, but saw Stefano Vietzi close that gap. These two were together for the entire race. They were going into the final lap pretty much together. Sparfel had a 2-second lap after, a 2-second lead after he had put pressure on Vietzi multiple times. But just as they passed pit 2 and took the final corner, Sparfel had a puncture. It was a slow puncture. He probably hit it, or he got the puncture in the downhill after the flyover. There were some ruts there. I heard multiple people talk after the race that they hit their rear wheel on something there. In the women's U23 race, Lizzie Gonzalez got a puncture there. So I'm thinking that's where it happened, but that was game over for him. The TV didn't really see it, but we could see it. Sparfel had a flat, and Vietzi, of course, didn't wait. There was nothing he could do in the final lap. He went hard, was looking in prime position until Caiesole decided that he was going to completely unleash himself in a similar way he did in Benidorm, and came from 29 seconds all the way back to 8 seconds. But that 8 seconds went to 12 seconds when Vietzi put in a final big push. And Vietzi took the first world title for Italy since Davide Malacarne in 2005. Vietzi was not even born back then, Issam. That is impressive. Joined on the podium were Caiesole and Christophe Bazant.
Yeah, it definitely was impressive. I mean, it's also a bit of a shame that Italy was not able to get a title in all those years. So it also kind of tells how special this result is overall, also for Italy as a cyclocross nation. I think that if you look at the season Vietzi had, he was definitely one of the favorites going into this race. But if you look at the race itself, you got to be honest and conclude that Sparfel was probably in prime position to win that race. So I really feel for him because he had a very good day. He put Vietti on the pressure for the entirety of the race, to be honest. Didn't really leave the lead over to Vietti, and whenever Vietti was in the lead, he was very quick to take over and try to put him under pressure even more. It was in my opinion, a brutal pace that he was putting up on Vietti. And I feel that, that he definitely had a shot of winning it, but that's also cyclocross, that's part of it, and he got that puncture and got unlucky. But for Vietti, I think that it was definitely a very good season, a special season as well. He was quite strong in the World Cup races for the juniors, and overall, he delivered. He was up there. He wasn't dropped by Sparfel. A couple of times was in somewhat of a difficulty, but always managed to close the gaps that were there. So I definitely think that you cannot deny anything. And he's a rider that, if you see him on a bike, is definitely not the most naturally gifted cyclocross rider, but he has a very big engine. And that definitely helped him also today. So it was great to see that that he got it done, that he was able to get the title for Italy. Great to see it happen. And I don't know how his future will be in cyclocross, but I don't think that we have to think about that and talk about that also for a long time for now. I think it's just great to see him up there and get the title.
I mean, I think a bunch of these riders are going to end up on the road. My observation was that Vietti, despite a couple of excitement mishaps, especially in the final lap, was technically slightly better than Sparfel. Sparfel was just super strong. That's not really a surprise if we have seen the mixed relay on Friday, where he was going crazy on the straights and even dropping Cameron Mason there. I mean, didn't mention it, but Mason had, just like his entire second half of the season, a horrendous day out. He finished 24th. I'm not going to say that Sparfel had the level to end there in the Men Elite race, but his power is strong. Sparfel is on Agir d'Isère. I think Sparfel is also going to have a career on the road. I don't really know where Vietti is going to go, but Sparfel is in the Agir d'Isère pyramid, and it's a bit different at Agir d'Isère than it used to be. Agir d'Isère now on the Van Rijssel bikes. For Van Rijssel, it's important to have a presence in cyclocross. Agir d'Isère is supporting BCO this year in cyclocross as a U23. BCO has said that he's going to continue. They have the Danish rider Daniel Wies Nielsen on that team. Next year, David Thompson and Oben Sparfel are going to move up. Like, they can have a nice small cross team there. Paul Sykes for France wasn't racing because he had an injury to his wrist, but that's like from all these riders, like, that's the rider I see going to road the easiest. I wonder what's next for Vietti. There's not really the same structure for him which there is in France, but Sparfel, without a doubt, one of the main protagonists of the weekend. He's an entertainer as well. Was wonderful to see him this weekend, and just a shame that it turned out that way. But as you said, a special victory for Vietti over the entire season. I can only conclude that it was deserved. He won most of the World Cups. He won the overall the World Cup. Well, he won 3 out of 6, and the other 3 were won by Sparfel. So it will be interesting to follow them. I mean, Vietti as a first year didn't really get the best results on the road, but just looking at the way he rides, he did pretty well. And I mean, the rest of the podium, Kaya Sola, he had a mistake at the start. He unclipped on the start finish straight. There was also a crash a bit further down which held up a couple of riders, but Sola, with that flyer of a final lap at some point, he threatened to win. The Dutch reporter was in the mixed zone watching on the same TV I was. He was convinced that Sola was going to come back, but in the end, it was a second place, which I think is a pretty decent result for him. But above all, Christophe Bazant, first-year junior ISAM, in front of his home crowd. The Czechs really delivered today with 3 top 10s and 2 medals. It's been a pretty good weekend for them, and Bazant was ecstatic with that performance.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I think that it was for him a very good day out. And yeah, I mean, if you can do that in front of your own crowd, that is just, I can only imagine that that is a special feeling. And he totally deserved it in a way, because he would normally fall outside of the podium if Sparfel finished in front of him. But that didn't happen, and then you are in a podium position. And I think that from the start of the race, he really tried to get himself in the mix, which I really like love to see. It was from time to time maybe a little uncontrollable the way he went through certain sections of the course, but he gave it his all and he was super motivated, it seemed, and also very happy when he crossed the line. And I could, you know, that is definitely a moment that he's not going to forget for a long time, and maybe you're never going to forget that such a result. And yeah, I mean, for him, it's definitely, you know, there is still some time in his career, and I'm interested to see what will happen with him, obviously. But it is, you know, for now, he can be very, very happy with the result, and it's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do next.
For now, he seems pretty interested in mountain biking. Don't really know what he's up to on the road, but he has one more year as a junior, and if you deliver like this, you're going to be the top favorite next year when the season starts. But there's a couple of other riders who will be up there. I mean, if we look at the entire top 10, there's more first years behind Vietti, Solo, Bazant. We find Sparfel and Philipse. Pretty good ride by Philipse, actually. It's his best ride of the season, but he just lacks like the complete cyclocross mojo to compete against riders like Vietti and Sparfel. Then we find two first years in 6 and 7, Théophile Vassal and Michiel Maurès. The French really have a strong generation here. They placed all their five riders in the top 15 of the results. 7th place was for Michiel Maurès, as said. Then Jules Simon was 8th ahead of Sena Remain and Louis Tanguy, another French rider, in the top 10. 4 in the top 10. Or are we at 4 in the top 10? 3 in the top 10. No, 4. Yeah, 4 in the top 10. That's, I'm losing count. It's getting late, but good result for the French collectively. Outside of the top 10 is some of the first Belgians, 13 and 14, both first years. There's some sense of panic in Belgium, but also not that heavy as it was. But they scored 4 medals this weekend. Bronze in the men elite with Van Tourenhout, silver and bronze in the men under 23 with the duo of Verstringen and Michels, and then the mixed relay was a bronze medal. What do you make out of that? Some, I think it's always a bit of an overreaction. It's not their year this time, but collectively they're still in a pretty decent position, especially because the sport is so centered around it that a lot of their riders that wouldn't get a ride if they had a different flag behind their name still get a contract and then are nurtured into a top 10, top 20-ish rider, and collectively they're still by far the strongest.
Yeah, I mean, what do I think about it? I think that's, you can joke about it and say that I feel that Belgium is never going to win an elite title again, but you know, that would be crazy to think. I mean, Belgium sometimes have these sort of bad years in a way, especially in the juniors, and that doesn't tell you anything. I mean, it is, at the end of it, it's just a year and it's just a category in a way, and there is a lot of time for them to grow. I mean, Belgium always have great support for the juniors up until a certain point. They really try to facilitate everything that is needed for those riders. So yeah, there's always this chance that they would still grow even more, and Belgium at the moment is not really dependent on the juniors. They have quite a good field of riders that could definitely do well and that are doing actually quite well. And therefore, I would say that, you know, Belgium is definitely not the country that needs these men juniors to perform fantastically and needs all these talents. I think for France, it's more necessary than for example, for Belgium. And that's, you know, is also something that you have to take in consideration. And for the sport of cyclocross, it's definitely good that we see that a country like France is having all these riders in the top 10, and as you said, all their riders in the top 15, which I think is an extraordinary job. And to have a world champion that is Italian, the Dutch are there in the mix, so the Czech Republic have someone maybe to look forward to in the future. So that's all exciting, but in the end of it, we have seen many junior championships and podiums that eventually never really made it to the elite. So sometimes you also kind of, you have to take this podium somewhat seriously, but you also should not count the future on it. The career is always kind of go in a direction that we somewhat cannot predict and expect. And therefore, it's always difficult to place it somewhere, a certain result. So you should never panic about these kind of races. And I think that Belgium is still all right. They're not going to suffer that hard compared to how certain other countries have suffered if their talent pool wasn't that great.
Most of the issues for Belgium are on the women's side, and that's hardly addressed. So, yeah, as you say, men junior was pretty elite or international, and we normally see that the junior categories are the most international and that then many are pulled to other disciplines. But, yeah, we'll see. The French just have a good generation. Vassal next year is going to be up there. They have Joan Blanc, number 7, at their national championships on the FDG team there, who is going to eventually like come back next year and going to make their squads also capable of top 10s. Like, there's a big pool of French riders. The question is there finally going to be a stream from the juniors to the U23 to delivering elite riders? Because that could really help facelift the sport. And don't forget, France also won the mixed relay, so it's been a good weekend collectively for them. There's more news, Issam, and we're going to leave it at this, but we'll come back at some point to discuss Van der Poel's comments about potentially doing a winter without cyclocross, discussing the rumors about the Cyclocross World Cup being changed, different format, different number of races, different point scale. So we'll wait and see what comes from all of that. First, we're going to get back home tomorrow, then take some rest before we're going to cover races like the Super Prestige in Middelkerke, X2O Trophy and Lille, and then work towards the end of the season and the start of the road season.
Yeah, it was a great experience, to be honest, to be here on the ground to experience the World Championships here at Tabor. And yeah, we're going to now slowly but surely round up the season, discuss indeed those topics that you mentioned. And yeah, it was a pleasure to be here on the podcast, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was nice to have you around here, Issam. It's been a busy weekend. You certainly helped me out a lot today when my phone died. This is literally the worst day possible for your phone to die when there was so much going on. So yeah, it was great to have you here. Good conclusion to the cross season. We're just going to watch the final two weekends from home, and then probably going to cover that comeback of Tonaerts, who's probably going to win at least two races in my prediction, but we'll see about that and just get some recovery and see how all the rest goes. Once again, thank you for your efforts. We'll be back later when we're going to cover the remainder of the season. Crazy how fast it goes. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you guys soon. Goodbye.